The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 5, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on March 22nd, 2015, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Shri Prahlada Uvacha Tat Sadhu Manyai Suravarya Dehinam Sada Sumudvigna Diyam Masad Grahat Hidvat Mapatang Grihamanda Kupam Vanangato Yadderam Ashrayeta Bhagavatam 755. Shri Prahlada Uvacha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Tat, that, Sadhu, very good, are the best part of life. Manye, I think, Asuravarya, O King of the Asuras, Dehinam, of persons who have accepted the material body, Sada, always, Samudvigna, full of anxieties, Diyam, whose intelligence, asat-grahat, because of accepting the temporary body, our bodily relations as real, thinking I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine, hitva, giving up, atmapatam, the bodily conception of life. Wait, I jumped a line ahead. The place where spiritual culture, our self-realization is stopped. Griham, the bodily conception of life. Or household life. Handakupam, which is nothing but a blind well. Where there is no water, but one nonetheless searches for water. Vanam, to the forest, gata, going, yat, which, harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ashrayeta, may take shelter of. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj replied, O best of the Asuras, King of the Demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, Vana. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent, and one should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Hiranyakashipu thought that Prahlad, being nothing but a small boy with no actual experience, might reply something with something pleasing, but nothing practical. Prahlad Maharaj, however, being an exalted devotee, had acquired all the qualities of education. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavat kinchana svadair ganaishtatta samastate sara harava bhaktashakato mahadguna manoratana sati dhavato bahi. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualification because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Bhagavatam 5.8.12. So-called educated philosophers and scientists who are simply on the mental platform cannot distinguish between what is actually sat, eternal, and what is asat, temporary. The Vedic injunction is asato ma jyotirgama. Everyone should give up the platform of temporary existence and approach the eternal platform. The soul is eternal, and topics concerning the eternal soul are actually knowledge. Everything elsewhere, it is said, apashyatam atma tatvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those who are attached to the bodily conception of life and who thus stick to life as a grihastha or householder on the platform of material sense enjoyment cannot see the welfare of the eternal soul. Prahlad Maharaj confirmed this by saying that if one wants success in life, he should immediately understand from the right sources what his self-interest is and how he should mold his life in spiritual consciousness. One should understand himself to be part and parcel of Krishna and thus completely take shelter of his lotus feet for guaranteed spiritual success. Everyone in this material world is in the bodily conception, struggling hard for existence, life after life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore recommended that to stop this material condition of repeated birth and death, one should go to the forest, vana. In the Varnashrama system, one first becomes a brahmachari, then a grihastha, a vanaprastha, and finally a sannyasi. Going to the forest means accepting vanaprastha life, which is between grihastha and sannyas. As confirmed in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, vanashrama charvata purushina parapuman vishna arajyate. By accepting the institution of varna and ashrama, one can very easily elevate himself to the platform of worshipping Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, if one remains in the bodily conception, one must rot within this material world, and his life will be a failure. Society must have divisions of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and for spiritual advancement, one must gradually develop as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasi. Prahlad Maharaj recommended that his father accept vanaprastha life, because as a grihastha, he was becoming increasingly demoniac due to bodily attachment. Prahlad recommended to his father that accepting vanaprastha life would be better than going deeper and deeper into griham andhakupam, the blind well of life as the grihastha. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore invite all the elderly members of the world to come to Vrindavan and stay there in retired life, making advancement in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Vandeha. Shri Guru. Shri Jata. Bada Kamala. Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Ragunatanvita Damsajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. This was not what Hiranyakashipu expected. Just see the courage of this little boy, and knowing how he's fully protected by Krishna, he tells the king of the demons that he should go to Vrindavan, cultivate spiritual life. This is the true well-wisher. He cuts through all the social etiquettes and just says what is actually beneficial. This is the boldness of the preacher. This is a manifestation of the compassion of the preacher. He's not interested in just playing all the social games. He wants to actually do what is beneficial for that living being. How he can touch that living being, break through all of the conditioning, and actually touch that living being to inspire him to take to the transcendental life of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is the original natural energy of the living being. The living being is qualitatively one with God. He is not of the quality of this material world. He's qualitatively one with Krishna. Just as the spark possesses heat and light, and the fire possesses heat and light, Krishna is the fire and we are the sparks. So if we are separated from the fire, we will die out. But if we remain within the fire, then we remain full of heat and light. So one has to take advantage of this very special facility given in the human form of life, which is a unique opportunity. The animals don't have this opportunity. Of course, sometimes we see, but it's very, very rare. In Mayapur, one evening in the early days of our ISKCON temple there, when all the devotees went to take milk prasadam, they cleared out the temple room. So one dog came in. He looked around. There was no one looking. He came in and offered his obeisances to the deities. Of course, he was obviously a human being in his last life who had to do some extra purification. He had his human consciousness, but he was in a dog body. So it's sometimes. That's very rare. But he actually came in and offers obeisances to the deities when nobody was looking, because dogs aren't allowed in the temple. But that's a very rare thing. And generally, only in the human form does one have developed consciousness to want to understand what is the purpose of my existence, where have I come from, where is my destination, how can I get there, etc., etc., etc. So now we, men and women here, we have this human body, you see. We should take full advantage of this human body. Not waste it running after sense gratification. We should fully absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Coming back to our original state, our original identity. We've been taught incorrectly in so many ways by our parents, by our teachers, by the entertainment industry, the government leaders. We have been grossly misguided, so much so that we're just doing everything wrong in terms of our liberation from material existence. were doing everything so wrongly. They were all we're doing is entangling ourselves more and more and more in the material nature. You understand this point? We are simply becoming more and more entangled in the material nature by following the misguidance of our parents, our relatives, our teachers, etc. This is why to have the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and bona fide Vaishnavas is of the utmost importance. You have to get associated with those who are on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Because otherwise, right now, you're going to hell. You are going to hell following these materialistic people, family members, government leaders who are on the material platform. By following these persons, you're going down to the animal kingdom in your next birth. So don't be a fool, don't be an idiot, don't be a moron to follow these people who have no conception of the spiritual identity of the self. Follow those persons who are awakened in Krishna consciousness, who can guide you, can bless you, who can inspire you how to become a liberated soul even within this very body. You don't have to wait until death to become liberated. All you have to do is engage yourself 100% in the service of the Lord right now. And you're liberated. You're already liberated. The trouble is we're too addicted to material sense gratification. The tongue, the belly, the genitals, mind, words, and anger. We like to indulge these things. But we have to be intelligent and realize this is nothing but degradation of the self. Going down, reversing the evolutionary process. And see, the evolutionary process is Vedic. It's not Darwinian. The evolutionary process, one goes not by the bodies changing, but by the transmigration of the soul through the cycle of birth and death. The living entity gradually evolves. It's described Jalaja Lavalakshani Stavada Lakshavingshati Kramiya Rudda Sankhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Chanta Lakshani Pashyavaha Chatur Lakshani Manashaha. This is evolution from the Vedas, you see. You begin in the aquatics, then you go to the plants, then you go to the insects and reptiles, then you go to the birds, then you go to the beasts, and then you get a human body. After going through all these other 8 million forms, you come to the human species, of which there are 400,000 varieties. We don't see them here, but you know, there are humans out there in outer space on other planets. Every planet is inhabited, although NASA hasn't figured it out yet. There are living, the scientists don't realize that there's actually the whole universe is inhabited. They don't have the eyes to see, the tools to see. The living entities everywhere throughout the whole universe. So this human body is a very, very special opportunity when you can actually inquire, why do I exist? What is the meaning of life? What's my purpose here? Tato brahma jigyasa. What is the nature of the absolute truth? You see, this, if you want to know what is the absolute truth, congratulations, now you're a human being. If you don't care to know what is the absolute truth, you're just a dog or a cat or a monkey. It's called dvipada pashu, two-legged animal. You're just an animal. If all you care about is eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, you're no better than a dog running around the street. No better than a dog, you see. A dog is running on his four legs, you're running on four wheels in your car thinking, oh yes. Sometimes the dog chases the car and the driver looks and goes, ha ha ha, and he floorboards it and he leaves the dog in the dust. He's thinking, oh, I'm so much better than the dog, you see, because I can outrun him with my car. Boom. But he's just a dog. It's the same mentality as a dog. Same mentality as a dog. So don't be in a doggish mentality of simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Be in a godly mentality, not a dogly mentality. You see, it's the same letters, G, O, and D. But how you spell it, you can spell D-O-G or G-O-D. So what are you going to be? You're going to be dogly or godly? It's your choice. You say, well, when my karma allows me to be godly, then I'll be godly. No. This is not under the influence of karma. See, there's two tracks. There's the karmic track and the akarmic track simultaneously going on. When you get in the karmic track, your akarmic or transcendental track, it goes into a dormant state. But you have the option any time flipping tracks, going into the karmic or transcendental track. At any time you can do that. Some people say, well, I'll take the Krishna consciousness and it's my karma to take the Krishna consciousness. It will never be your karma to take the Krishna consciousness. You will take the Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master when he inspires you to give up the karmic track and to come to this transcendental track. You see? So you can come at any time. You just have to desire it. Krishna is waiting. Krishna has been traveling with you through millions of lifetimes of your sojourn in the cycle of birth and death. He has been traveling with you as the Paramatma, seated beside you, the Atma, a spiritual particle within the heart. In millions of species, the Supersoul, who is your best friend, has accompanied you. He's simply waiting for that moment when you think, I want out of this madness. I want to come back to pure spiritual life. Then he will bring you in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who will then plant the seed of bhakti within your heart. If you will take advantage of that seed by regularly watering it, by chanting and hearing about Krishna, and protecting that creeper from the weeds of illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling, and building a very strong fence around that creeper, that I will never be offensive towards a devotee. I will guard myself against Vaishnava aparad. You see? If you will do this, if you will avoid the four sinful pillars, if you will avoid Vaishnava aparad, and you regularly hear and chant about Krishna, then the creeper of bhakti will become activated. It would gradually travel all the way through the coverings of this material universe. It will go to the transcendental kingdom of God. It will go all the way to Krishna Loka and wrap itself around the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, in which time the full-blown fruit of ragatmika bhakti or prema bhakti will become manifest. Simply one has to be determined. That's you just have to be determined, like that little sparrow who wouldn't accept that the ocean would not return her eggs. We have to be very, very determined to get out of the madness of material existence and come back to our original identities as Krishna's eternal servants. We have to be very, very determined. If you're not determined, you're not going to make it. You have to be determined to become the pure devotee of Krishna. And then Krishna will help. God helps those who help themselves. If you make that sincere, determined endeavor to become a pure devotee, Krishna will help you within and without. In all ways, Krishna will help you to achieve the perfection. Simply one has to be very determined. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
This verse talks about vanaprastha.
About?
Vanaprastha.
Vanaprastha, okay.
So, what does that mean in ISKCON practical terms? Because we don't go to the forest.
Well, does it mean traveling around in a van, maybe?
Maybe.
Now, vanaprastha means that you're finished with the activity of having children. There's no, you're brahmacharis. It's strict brahmachari life. Grihastha life, you can have children. But a vanaprastha is completely free from any sexual activities. And that's one of the crucial points of being vanaprastha. And he's fully absorbed in preaching Krishna consciousness. That is the forest of Vrindavan. If you're a preacher, you're fully absorbed in preaching, you're living in Vrindavan already, you see. So if one is become brahmachari, he and his wife are not having any children, they're fully absorbed in preaching, that is practically speaking vanaprastha life. There is a vanaprastha where one lives separately from one's wife, but from one's wife. They sometimes say wife is life, no wife, no life, but that's not our philosophy. One can live separately from one's wife as a vanaprastha, or one can live together with one's wife. Prabhupada also explains if one's household of life is completely Krishna conscious, that one's wife is a devotee properly engaged in Krishna consciousness, with the husband properly engaged, there's no need for sannyas. He also says that. So, some devotees take a vanaprastha where they live separately from their wife, they put on saffron, they get ready for sannyas. That's a type of vanaprastha. Another type of vanaprastha is to remain with the wife and fully engage in preaching. That's another type of vanaprastha. So both types are there in ISKCON.
Like you're doing?
Yes. I'm vanaprastha. What you were doing also. Vanaprastha life is very, very, very nice. A very ecstatic life. But grahastha is also very nice. Devotees who, they want to have families, it's very nice. I mean, that's very good too. It's not that, if you're a grahastha, you're low class. No. If one is inclined to have a family, have children, it's very nice. Either way, a couple can. Prabhupada said that not that they're married, they have to have sex and have to have children. It's not required. He told Satsarupa in a letter, it's not required that you have to have children. If you want to, that's very good. It's a choice. You want to be like vanaprastha, you want to be. Either way is fine. Whatever inspires you, whatever facilitates you the best to engage in Krishna's consciousness, that's the point. Any other questions? Let's see what we got coming in the internet. Nothing yet. Yes.
You mentioned the courage of Prahlad Maharaj.
Yes.
And he's just saying it like as it is, and that is his compassion.
Yeah.
But sometimes we may find that if we when we preach to someone, if we are very direct, then they might be a little intimidated by that.
I might want to kill you, just like Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill his son after he heard this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be dangerous, yeah. So one has to be, according to time, place, and circumstance, one has to be intelligent to see what I can actually get away with, You want to give as much as you can, but if you give too much, then they become offensive. This is why it's said, don't preach to the faithless. If you give them too much then, and they become offensive, then that's your offense. So a preacher knows the art of how to give them just the right amount, the proper dose, so it purifies them, but they don't become offensive. That's the art of the preacher. He gives them as much as they can handle, but not more than they can handle. He purifies them, but he doesn't purify them too much. Little by little, by little, by little, gradually, gradually, gradually. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah, I see that you're talking about determination. Determination.
Can you repeat that? Okay.
Determination.
Determination.
Yeah.
And I can see as the longer you are in Krishna consciousness, that is developed more and more. You get more and more knowing this is my service, this is what I should focus on. So determination is for me is very important. And my Guru Maharaj said we should absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So could you say something about absorption and determination.
Oh yes, I could say so many things. It's do or die, really. If you understand, it's either do this or I'm committing suicide. If one understands the implications of not taking seriously the path of Krishna consciousness, that will help one to become even more determined. There's really no other, there is that nice verse in the Ishopanishad, there is no other alternative to this way for man. It's either this or you know, the going down to the animal kingdom, as good as being dead in terms of spiritual realization goes. It's either this or worse than death. If one understands the urgency, the absolute urgency of fully surrendering to Krishna as soon as possible, then even that will increase their determination. Yeah. Any other questions?
I would like to connect to the question of Prabhupada. How to understand how much dose of knowledge of Krishna consciousness we can give to the persons we are meeting?
You would like...
How to understand.
How to understand. Oh, yes, okay.
How much dose I can give.
Well, this is learned by experience. One sincerely tries one's best, and Krishna within the heart helps you. If you're really trying to help a person to awaken their Krishna consciousness, you're sincerely wanting to help them, you're not wanting to show off or simply defend your own position. You're sincerely wanting to help them to awaken their Krishna consciousness. Krishna within your heart will give you the understanding what you need to tell them, and he will. Sometimes a neophyte devotee is more worried about defending his own position than he is in helping that person. And then that he may preach in a fanatical way when he does that. But the mature devotee, he has no fear about losing his Krishna consciousness. He's strong and fixed in Krishna consciousness. So he simply thinks, what can I tell this person that will help them to advance? He's not trying to defend his own position at all. He has nothing to defend. He feels completely protected. So he simply thinks, how can I benefit this person? So if one is sincerely wanting to do that, one is fully strong in one's own conviction, it's not that it's some atheistic argument will disturb his mind, no. If he hears an atheistic argument, he becomes enlivened, that now I have a, you know, an exciting chess match here. He never feels threatened by any philosophy, because he's fixed in his own conviction. In that kind of a mentality, he can just simply think, what sort of words or what sort of tone of voice, what sort of, you know, mode of expression can I use that will actually help this person to realize that there's a higher truth beyond what he's thinking is reality. Is it? Does that make sense? Okay, here we go. From Lithuania. How to get faith that it is possible even for the most degraded person. Remember Jagai and Madai. There you go. Jagai and Madai were so degraded. They were rapists. They were murderers. They were thieves. I mean, they were the most wicked, despicable characters. But yet they became completely pure devotees. So much so that we sing their names. And the Narottam Das actually inserted their names have become holy names. Jagai and Madai are holy names now. Lord Krishna comes as Lord Krishna comes, and the English version is Lord Krishna comes as Sachi's son. Balaram descends as Nitai. By chanting, the wretched have all been saved, including Jagai and Madai. So we sing their names have become holy names, Jagai and Madai. Of course, they got new names after they surrendered, but even their karmi names were celebrated because they became such wonderful examples of devotees who were so degraded. They would, Madai was the worst character. He actually smashed Lord Nityananda on the head with a clay drinking pot and drew blood from Lord Nityananda's forehead, enraging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can you imagine how degraded to smash somebody, a devotee, on the head, the Lord himself on the head, and draw blood? How degraded he was, but yet he became a very great pure devotee. So if you will remember Jagai Madai, that will encourage you that even though now I'm a degraded, wretched person, that by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the mercy of my spiritual master, that I can become a great pure devotee, completely free of all the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, which is at the present moment completely torturing me and tormenting me. Yes?
How does one learn the art of inquiring to like facilitate senior devotees to talk about Krishna?
How does one learn how to inquire in such a way that facilitate the Krishna Katha to flow and keep flowing and flowing and flowing? Tune into the moment. Try to really tune into the moment, really hear what's being said, and try to understand, try to connect with Krishna in the moment. As you're hearing the words being spoken, try to really connect. These words are not ordinary words. These words describing Krishna, glorifying the process of Krishna consciousness, are Krishna himself. So if you actually realize that this katha is not ordinary, like an ordinary conference down in the hotel, this is Krishna himself manifesting in the form of his glorification. So if you have that, conviction, that understanding, that realization, then Krishna will inspire you to inquire in such a way that the intensity and the depth of the katha can be enhanced more and more and more. Questions? Yeah.
Yesterday I found on Facebook very nice picture with very nice words. The words were, you just accept the holy name and Lord Nityananda will be responsible for delivering you from this material world. But I asked the devotee that he knows about this or something or wants, what is the source of this words, but he knew. So if you can elaborate about it.
Can you explain and repeat what he said? I couldn't quite hear.
Yeah, he found a statement that if you chant the holy names,
you just accept the holy name. And
you
Lord
just accept the holy name, and then Lord Nityananda, he will
become responsible
for delivery from the material world.
If you chant the holy name, Lord Nityananda will take responsibility to deliver you.
Yeah. And you wanted like a source.
Yes, Maharaj. Yeah, if Maharaj can elaborate.
If you chant, anyone who takes the name of Krishna, Lord Nityananda will personally see that you become delivered. That
no, he will deliver you.
He will deliver you. Yes. So we have to know what it really means to take the name. Then, what does it really mean to connect with the name? To take the name. That's the crucial thing here. Just like we have 10 offenses against the name. In other words, there are impediments that can get in the way of taking the name. So we have to understand how to avoid all these impediments. The first one is to blaspheme devotees, to be critical of devotees. The second one is to consider the names of the demigods to be the same as Krishna's name. The third offense is disobey the orders of the spiritual master. That means I need to have a spiritual master, and I have to be obedient to him. So taking the name is not just a matter of saying Hare Krishna, but it's a matter of avoiding all the offenses against the name at the same time. So we can chant Hare Krishna and avoid all the offenses which are so important. We chant them every morning in the morning program, and they're mentioned in several places in Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada said when there's an initiation ceremony, the 10 offenses should be described. Because simply chanting Hare Krishna, one can go on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes and not become delivered if one is committing offenses. So one has to learn how to chant without offense. So you have to respect Vaishnavas, you have to understand the supremacy of Krishna, you have to take a spiritual master, get initiated, be fully obedient to your spiritual master. In this way, you can actually take the name, and at which point, when you really take the name in the full sense of the meaning, take the name, Lord Chaitanya will definitely, Lord Nithyananda will definitely deliver you, no doubt about it. By his mercy, you'll become delivered. Even while in the present body, you'll become a liberated soul. Let's see if we got any others on the internet here. Okay, here we go. From Mumbai, India. During one's japa, how can one have a prayerful mood? Well, you know, I found a really good trick for that. Look at Mantra 7 in the Upadeshamrita. If you want to increase your prayerful mood while chanting japa, I recommend that you learn this verse, and you can recite it sometimes during your japa period. And it goes like this. Siyat Krishna nama charitari satapya vidya pato patapta rasya nasya narochikanu kent vandadannanu nikang shadishai vajushta swami krabad babadidit kad kalamulahantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully, prayerfully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish will awaken within his tongue and his disease will become destroyed at the root. So if you will learn this verse, or at least you can have it run on a piece of paper if you haven't memorized it, or have an Upadeshamrita handy, and you can flip it open and read it for a minute or so before you chant your rounds. And remember, if I will carefully, in a prayerful mood, chant these names, then I'll come out of this avidya, my devotional creeper will become activated, everything auspicious will come just by properly chanting, just by carefully, properly chanting these names. All spiritual perfections will be mine, greater than the achievements of the mystic yogis who do pranayama for millions of lifetimes. You see? In one lifetime, I can achieve beyond what the mystic yogis achieve just by carefully, prayerfully chanting these sweet names every day. Anything else? Yes.
Sadhu Sangha is very important for the devotees. So
what's important?
Sadhu Sangha is very important for the devotees.
Yeah,
but most of the time we will not get the very high level devotees. So how to get that kind of association?
Okay, what was this?
Often we will not get the high-level devotees association, so how to get that association?
You have to always be in the association of high-level devotees. Do you think they're limited to their bodies?
No.
Prabhupada said there's two types of seva. There's vapu seva and vani seva. So the high-level devotees, You can serve them when they're physically present, that's called vapuseva. And or you can also serve them when they're not physically, when they are or they are not physically present, by serving their instructions. That's called vaniseva. In fact, I accepted Prabhupada as my guru before I even saw him, just by hearing about him. Just through vani, I accepted him as my spiritual master. And so you have to take the advanced devotees within your heart. Whether they're present or not physically doesn't matter. It is simply a matter of your faith and your conviction. If you will take the exalted Vaishnavas within your heart as your worshipful deities and always serve them and remember them, pray to them, try to please them in every way, they will be present with you at every minute. You will never be separated. Just like I've never, from that very moment I accepted Prabhupada as my spiritual master, I've never been separated from him for a minute. And Prabhupada is always with me at every minute. So you simply have to have that faith that the spiritual master, that the advanced devotees are fully present in their instructions. And that way you're never separated from them. You understand? Any other questions? Let's see on the internet. No? No more internet questions? Several. Almost out of time here. Any other questions? Everyone's fully satisfied now? Ready to take over Maya, kick Maya out of your heart once and for all? Give Maya a good kick, get her totally kicked out of your heart? Everyone ready to give Maya a big kick? Get out of here. Okay, yeah.
Just in connection with that, giving Maya a big kick, we often hear this to declare war upon Maya. And I heard a lecture not long ago where it was described that what Maya actually is, that Durga Devi, she is sitting on that tiger and she has 10 weapons in her hands and like very intimidating character. So could you talk about what it means to declare war on Maya?
Mm. Actually, Maya plays two different roles. This is described in the Brahma Samhita. Let's see, how does that go? How does that verse go about Durga?
Srishti
stiti palaya sandana jaktareka chayeva yashiva vanani vibharti Durga ichchanda rupam api yashita testate sa govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Let's see, the external potency, Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. So, actually, that Maya is a pure devotee. Maya or Durga Devi is a pure devotee, but she has a duty. She is the warden of the prison of this material existence. So prisoners who are well behaved, is her duty to see they become released from the prison. And those who are rascals, it's her duty to confine them very tightly within her grip. So you need to get on the good side of Maya. By being a devotee of Krishna. And then, so the Maya you're declaring war on is the Maya within your own heart, which obliges you to be a servant of your senses. The personality Maya is actually a pure devotee. She's actually your well-wisher. Even the turmoil she puts you through when you embrace illusion and you embrace her is also for your benefit, to convince you you should not remain in this bondage of illusion, that it's miserable. So whether she blesses you or she kicks you, it's all mercy. So you need to get on the good side of Maya by just being very dedicated to pleasing Krishna. The prison is experienced in different ways. Just like many years ago, I was going to preach in a prison, El Reno Federal Penitentiary in El Reno, Oklahoma. I went every week. And I went in and I went out. To me, it was a nectarian adventure, going to the prison. We had a great program in the chapel every week. We had a feast. We had the most unbelievable kirtans. Those inmates really went into bliss. It was fantastic. I mean, it was nectar. Some of them even got initiated. And we actually had a yoga in the prison itself. Tamal Krishnamaraj came in and did a yoga inside the prison. They allowed Oklahoma, there's a lot of American Indians there. And they have what's called a sweat lodge. It's part of their tradition. So they allowed the American Indians to have a sweat lodge inside the prison grounds. So they had to allow us to do a fire yoga also, because American Indians had a sweat lodge with a fire in it. So they allowed us to do the yoga right in the prison grounds, initiation yoga. But anyway, for me, it was a nectarian place, going in the prison, coming out. You know, I could walk in and out, no problem. But the inmates, you know, it's an impenetrable wall. They can't get out. So Maya is like that. The prison, Maya, she's the prison. Durga literally means prison. So if you're Krishna conscious, there's no obstacle at all. Maya's abode is a place of adventure, transcendental adventure, like a kid in a candy shop. Maya's abode is a place of transcendental adventure. But if you're, just like a devotee, goes out to distribute books, and it's like a kid in a candy shop, you know. So many opportunities to distribute a book and touch somebody with Krishna's mercy and to have a shower of mercy from Lord Chaitanya. I remember seeing one devotee, and we were doing a Harinam party on one side of the street. Across the street, a devotee, we saw him distribute a Krishna book. And he distributed that Krishna book, and he was jumping up and down in ecstasy. He was jumping higher than we were on the Harinam party, but he was jumping in ecstasy after distributing a Krishna book. Jumping in ecstasy. So, you know, for distributing books, for you, Maya's kingdom is a place of adventure, a kid in a candy shop. But for someone who is subservient to their senses instead of a master of their senses, Maya means it's a hellish prison. It's a matter of perspective. If you become a master of your senses, then Maya's kingdom is a place of a great adventure. Some devotees, they want to take birth after birth after birth until all the conditioned souls are liberated. They're so happy in the material world as preachers. They want to take birth after birth until all the conditioned souls are liberated. Is it? So for them, Maya's kingdom is a nectarian place, you see. But for those who are servants of their senses, hell, birth, death, old age and disease, taxes, you know, pressure, the job, and you know, so many things. But even one can be a householder and still have the mood of a Paramahamsa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the example. He said, now I go to work to maintain Krishna's household. So if the householder would give up his false sense of proprietorship, this is my wife, my kids, my bank balance, my apartment, Maya. You see? If he would give up this false mentality of being the proprietor and see this woman is Krishna's servant, I am Krishna's servant. This house is Krishna's property. This bank balance is all Krishna's money. It has to all be spent in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. He's a liberated soul, even as a householder, you see. So in this way, Maya can be your enemy and can be your best friend. So, our time is up. Oh, wait, one last question from the internet. How to make all doubts go away and develop an unflinching faith in Krishna? By hearing submissively from the spiritual master and exalted Vaishnavas. If you will hear submissively that or those sound vibrations emanating from their mouths, their lotus mouths, will destroy all doubt. You simply have to be very good at the art of listening, and then all your doubts will be slashed. And if you can always inquire also. If you have things that you have doubtful about, ask questions. That will speed up the process. If you have doubts, then ask questions. Specifically, bring forward those things which are troubling your mind, that you don't understand, that don't make sense to you. Bring those out and let them be. Let the spiritual master or the exalted devotees, you know, shed light on those specific points that are causing you doubts. So, we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Disgrace Sangha Shyam Prabhu ki jai.